welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to start this morning in an Old Testament scripture, a story regarding Elisha and the king of Aram. So it says 2 Kings 8:6-8, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to that place, indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who's been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord, the king. It is not us, my lord, the king," one of the officers replied. "Elijah, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." The report came back, "Elijah is at Dothan." So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elijah told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elijah prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Amen. And God delivered them from that situation. But I think one of the powerful things that we see here is how one thing can look one way in the natural, but when the Lord opens our eyes, we can see something completely different. In other words, a servant of Elisha couldn't see that those forces with his natural eyes. He needed a work. We would call that in the New Testament the gift of the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits is the ability to see into the spirit realm. That's why people can have visions. That's why people can see things. Our natural eyes can only see in the natural. Discerning of spirits causes you to see into that spirit realm. And so God will use that at different times and ways for the edification of the body of Christ to communicate something. But here in the Old Testament, we see that Elijah prayed that a servant would have that, and he got to see. He experienced that discerning of spirits. He could see into the spirit realm and actually see the angelic beings. Pretty powerful. You know, so he saw that, and that changed everything. The Apostle Paul puts it this way: "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now," we could say with our natural eyes. "Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." So we see the phenomena that happened here with Elisha's servant being able to see with the eyes of his spirit, seeing into that invisible realm, the spiritual power and the forces that were at work on his behalf. We have an admonition also in the face of present troubles, present surroundings of circumstances and situations, to begin to see into, fix our gaze on those things, looking past the horses and the chariots and looking into those things that aren't seen by our natural eyes. And as we do, praise God, there is deliverance, there is healing. We're not intimidated by what our natural eyes are seeing, but we're looking with our spiritual eyes, and that makes all the difference. You could say, you know, the phrase that I've kind of heard that I think describes this well is, when you look with your spiritual eyes in the face of the natural eyes, and what happened with Elisha's servant here, he went from being surrounded by these chariots to seeing that they were already encircled and surrounded by the chariots of fire and God's army. So what happens is, in a moment of time, God flipped the script. He flipped the script from being on the defense to going on the offense, simply because he saw something. He didn't do anything different. He just saw what was already his, what was already there. He saw it, and it completely flipped the script of the story. And if you read the rest of the story, you know, that, you know, those chariots that surrounded Elijah and his servant, you know, Elijah just basically said, "Lord, blind these guys." And then he led them by the hand to Samaria. He said, "Okay, now you can open their eyes as they're surrounded by all the army of Israel." You know, and he said, "Do you want me to, you know," the king of Israel said, "Should I kill him?" You know, Elijah said, "No, don't kill him. Just feed him and send him back on their way to their king." And after he did that, they never bothered him again. And so it's amazing to see how God can just in a moment flip that script for a year on the defense to a year on the offense, and the power and the might of the Spirit of God. And so this morning we're going to look at that. We're going to look at flipping the script. We're going to look at flipping the script in our lives as we go through stuff. And sometimes it can be a little intimidating when you think of flipping the script. I like the idea of flipping the script on some things when I think about my life and stuff. But we've got to realize who it is that we serve. Elisha knew who he served, but Elisha's servant wasn't quite sure. He didn't quite realize who it was that he was serving, his God. Jesus, I just love when you just see the story of how he came, and there was a certain woman who was bowed over, crippled for 18 years. And he said, "Ought not this daughter of Abraham be loosed?" And after 18 years, she's not bowed over anymore. She's walking normal. That could be a long time. Another guy who was lame for 38 years. Can't walk. We don't know the full backstory, what happened, but 38 years, he can't walk. Jesus comes by, heals him. Now he can walk. That's a long time to have a certain narrative in your head, a certain identity in your head. And in a moment, he just flips it from sick to healed. There's another guy who was actually born blind. In other words, he didn't have any good old days to look back on. There was no before and after. He didn't even have that. He was just born into blindness. And the people that were going after Jesus were trying to get him to say something bad about Jesus. And he said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, I was blind, and now I see." Jesus can flip scripts, no matter how long the script has been playing in a direction. Madman of Gadara, my goodness, cutting himself, doing all kinds of, people couldn't restrain him. He delivers him. And he's sitting there in his right mind. And, you know, he wants to follow Jesus. And he said, "No, go back to your hometown folk and tell them the good things the Lord has done." It's just amazing to see the power of God, how he can change something that has gone in one direction for so long. And so this morning we're going to talk about flipping the script. We're talking about changing, how something can go from one direction to another direction. It can go from a place of fear to a place of faith. From denying Jesus three times that you even know him to proclaiming the word of God and getting 3,000 people saved. Same person. Where God can change a place of despair, confusion to clarity, heaviness to joy. God can flip, does flip the script. And sometimes, and we're gonna just get into it here, but we're going to look at it in our life. Now, as we think about this message now, obviously there's things that we got going good, awesome, praise God. But there are areas that we think, this is what I would love to see different. This is a situation I want to see the script flipped in this relationship. Or it could be an addiction or a fear or, you know, you got to fill in the blank. However, God is going to work this message into your life today. So we're going to be talking about it in kind of a general sense. But I'm just trusting God that He's going to do a work in all of us this morning that is going to challenge us, that is going to give us hope, and just realize that things don't have to stay the same way. Amen. They can change. Praise God. So the first thing is dropping our script.
Come on.
If we're going to flip the script, we can't hold on to our script, cling to our script. We're going to be changing. We're going to be reading some new lines. Praise God. And as we do that, we're just looking at this is probably one of the big script flipping scriptures I think of, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You know, the classic definition that we hear in our culture all the time of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And this is why we can stay on script for 38 years or 28 years or whatever that might be without flipping it, because there is something that is expecting something to change if we just do it enough. And we realize that, no, this script is just going to produce what this script has produced. And if I want to change, if I want there to be a change, there's going to have to be a change in that script. And so as we prepare to drop our current script, we look at just a few different scriptures along those lines. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fail but become strong. In other words, he's saying, mark out a path, a straight path that's going to bring good, wonderful, spiritual, godly accountability. And in that straight path, there's going to be healing. So where do we take our script from? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So, where do we take our script from? Scripture. That is where we get our script from. That is where we mark out our straight path from. I'm so glad. I'm telling you what, the world we live in today, I am so glad to be a believer. I am so glad for eternal life, to have that promise, but I'm also glad to have an appreciation and an understanding of the Word of God and the power and the importance of the Word of God, because it guides us. It keeps our life straight. In other words, in the world, apart from Scripture, human beings can rationalize and compare, and I feel, therefore, and drop comparisons and really come up with some interesting conclusions apart from any solid truth of the Word of God, with no accountability to truth, but a sense of accountability to your feelings. In other words, my feelings are the master, and I need to serve my feelings and keep my feelings happy. That's the center. It's what the Scripture calls self-seeking. I'm the center of the universe, and everything revolves around me and my happiness and my feelings and my validation and me, me, me. God changes that to where there is a God. He loves us, and He gives us His Word. And we don't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now, we kind of know this. We're Christians. We're believers. So let's bring it back to us. Because, bring it back to me. This This is where I've come to this inflection point as far as dropping my script. But a lot of times the hard part of dropping our script for God's script is because many times it's not a new script. Many times it can be a script we've read before. It's a script we've walked before. In other words, we have a familiarity with the script and the scriptures and the things that we're looking at. You know, one of the most remarkable stories in the New Testament to me in the Gospels is when Jesus returns to his hometown, right? This is the hometown boy made good doing all these things. He comes back and they go, this is Mary and Joseph's son. His brothers and sisters are with us. I remember him. I remember growing up, remember him watching him play ball, whatever. You know, they had a hometown familiarity with him. And the idea that this guy, you know, could be the Son of God, doing all these miracles. The Bible says they were offended at him. They were familiar with him, and they were offended at him. And these are religious people. And it said that he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. It's not that he wasn't still God in the flesh. It's not that he didn't still have the Spirit without measure. It's not that his ability changed, but he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. In other words, their attitude toward the living Word affected what the Word could do in their lives. All right. So, have you been there before? I can do all things, yeah, I know, through Christ who strengthens me. You're a new creature. Yeah, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old's passed away, all has become new. Yeah, I know. I know. God will meet all your needs, yeah, according to his riches and glory. I'm just talking about an attitude of the heart now. The word is still living and powerful. It's still sharper than any two-edged sword. Can still divide asunder soul and spirit. Can still do amazing things. But I can be familiar with it to where it can do no mighty work in my life. Yeah, I've read that script before. It's humbling to drop our script. This script cares about me. This script understands me. This script doesn't mind when I do certain things. This script understands why I need to do those certain things. If we're going to flip the script, there's going to be a dropping of our script. Existing script, and there's going to be a freshness and a newness and a new appreciation of Jesus and the Word of God. And no matter how well I know it, no matter how well I can quote it, it doesn't change the living, powerful dynamic of it. And I'm going, if I want to flip the script, I'm going to have to get off the script and I'm going to have to embrace the script, the new script. So there's a dropping of our script, and there's a flipping to God's script. Now, it's a big script. There's a lot in here, you know. You could spend a long time. What I want to do this morning in terms of flipping the script is I'm just going to kind of almost think of like your... You know, when you bring your, we actually had a situation with our van. The engine light came on. As it turned out, we had a weak battery. All right, we got the battery replaced. It was good, no problem. But you bring your car in, and they'll look at it. They'll check your battery, your oil, your washer fluid, your air pressure, transmission fluid. You got all these different little checkpoints on a car that you do. And what I want to do this morning is, in flipping to God's script, is I just want to kind of just kind of go through some touch points, all right? This is not meant to be, you know, you can take anything and make a big message or a big sermon out about it. And so we all have different things. We all have different things that we want to flip the script on. We have different kinds of things we want to flip the script on. So what I'm going to do is I just want to walk through, you know, probably, you know, pretty good pace, just some points, some checkpoints that you can go and say, okay, what script am I reading from here? Because there's different things that we can say, okay, maybe I'm a little low on the oil. I need to flip the script here. I need to begin to realize the reason why I'm on this treadmill is because I'm reading from that old script again. Because it's tricky. The enemy gets us under that old script, and we don't even realize we're back under the old script again. That's why we need the Word of God to show us what script we're reading from. So, flipping to God's script, these are just going to be some touch points. I believe that God is going to use to kind of help us to understand. First of all, first things first, if you're going to flip the script, and you've been doing the same thing, and you're, whatever, it's 38 years or 18 years, one of the things that happens when you work from your own script is you are going to get tired. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of the first aspects of flipping the script, you know, to go from that place of self to the place of God, is to first just realize that, man, before I can flip scripts, I gotta just come unto Him. I gotta find my strength in Him. I'm tired. I'm weary. I love this invitation to wait on the Lord to renew your strength. Part of the script that you get comes from just the waiting on the Lord and renewing your strength. Lord, I'm tired. Show me. What are the scripts? What are the scriptures? What are the verses? What are the areas? There is just a kind of a quiet time of seeking the Lord, of just coming into His presence. Jesus puts it this way, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So a lot of times we'd like to think, okay, I'm dropping this old script and I'm going to go to the new script. Part of dropping that old script, going to that new script, is taking some time again to get the script, to get the new script. You know, God, as you're just waiting on Him and you're just having some time, and this could be just some time in worship, whatever it is you're doing, He can give you a scripture that you've known for years, but He gives it to you. And when you sense that scripture quickened to you by the Spirit of God, we kind of talked about this a few weeks ago, and one of your superpowers that you have, whether you realize it or not, by having the Holy Spirit in you, is the ability to supernaturally recall things that He has spoken to you. Yes. I mean, He could take something that you put in a notebook 5 years ago by revelation and remind you of that. Yeah. Or that situation in grade school that He did something and reminded you of something. I mean, the Holy Spirit is amazing. And sometimes it's just a matter of waiting on the Lord. I'm just saying, okay, Lord, I'm dropping the script. I need a new script. And Lord, just begin to show me. And sometimes it's just, I've had it where it's just like, okay, Ed, just go back to that, you know, that the proverb a day. You know what I mean? You got the 31 Proverbs, and you just, for the day of the month, the calendar month, just go back. Just something that I'll just have something that'll just kind of get the gears turning. You know what I mean? Where you just kind of get in a place of spiritual things, and then He'll begin to lead you. He doesn't like dump one thing to another thing. He leads and guides. He's gentle and lowly in heart. He realizes, not only, you see, He realizes why you're laboring and He knows why you're heavy laden. When you're over here reading from the script and you're doing that stuff, there's a lot of junk over here too. There's a voices over here, there's anger, there's shame, there's a lot of stuff. You're heavy for a reason. And he knows why you're heavy laden. He knows what you're carrying. He knows the constant accusation, whether it's toward you or about. There is just a lot of junk that the enemy does in this place. And he says, come unto me. I'm going to free you from all that stuff. And so he's going to begin to speak to your heart a new script, some new verses, some things to get back on. And then again, to realize part of dropping that script is, okay, I'm going to read these, but I'm not going to read them as the authority, as the expert. I'm familiar. I'm going to read these. The Bible says, with humility, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So I'm going to read these with humility. So God is going to give us a new script. And then just one more scripture along this line. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do. He didn't sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. So we see that we have a Lord who is right here. And that's why I just kind of put these three scriptures together. There is a waiting on the Lord to receive strength. There's a coming unto him. In other words, he's a safe place. He's not critical. He's going to be kind and merciful. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And that there is a place that we're going to find grace to help. So before we get into the technical, because we're going to get into some technical stuff, we got to realize that he calls us to a place where we have ears to hear. He calls us to a place of safety. In other words, you're coming back to God and all you know is, man, I love you because you first loved me. If I'm going to love you again, I need to come back to that love. I need to come back to that safe place that I have in you. But here are some points that we're going to begin to look and detect where the script can change. Because again, when you're kind of over here in your own world, reading from your own script, we don't detect that these things are not God. But flipping from the natural to the spiritual mindset, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Now, a lot of times we can kind of get, or kind of hear different forms of like a think right message. You know, or I just got to think right, if I can just think right. And that is absolutely it. We got to set our mind on things above, different things like that. But here's the deal. There is kind of an interesting situation you experience. Have you ever tried to think right, and it's just really hard to think right? You think right, and then you're thinking wrong. You think right, you're thinking wrong, okay? Now, there's a certain wrestling that we have against powers and principalities that are a part of that. There's part of that. No. But, you know, before, you know, Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There are times I have a hard time thinking right because I'm not strong in the Lord. There's no shame in that. My gas tank is on E. It just means that I'm not spiritually charged. I'm weak. Like, we can wait on the Lord, renew our strength. So there's times when I got to realize I got to go. It's like if I'm driving my car and it's almost on E, I'm going to have to get to a gas station. I can't just be particular, too, if it's on E. If I'm on fumes, it's not like I can say, it has nothing to do how I feel about a gas station. I got to get it to a gas station. I got to get gas in that car or it's going to run out of gas. I don't have to wait to feel inspired to get gas for the gas to count in my car. No, the gas will count if I just go and do it. It's kind of like drinking your coffee in the morning. You don't have to feel inspired for that cup of coffee to work before you can drink it. No, in fact, you don't feel inspired, and that's why you do drink it, to get you going, right? Exactly, and that's one of the great things. It puts no demand on you to have to be inspired. It's the great thing. Spiritually, too.
Yes.
There's times around weekends, and this is where the enemy will jump on your shoulder. Yeah, it's because you're weak, because you're a failure, because you can never do this, because you could, and where the accusations, and you got, nope.
That's right.
I just need some gas, that's all.
That's right.
I'm just weak. Well, of course I'm thinking that. Yeah, I just need to get, come on, I just need to pull aside. I need to get strong in the Lord. I need to get fueled up.
Yep.
And you'll be filled with the Spirit, songs, hymns, spiritual songs. No condemnation for being weak. You just got to get gas. You got to get, you know, it's like if your car is on E, you're not going to throw your car away and get a new car. You're just going to fill it up. It's a good car. You're a good child of God. Amen. You're a good new creation. Don't throw yourself under the bus either for being weak. Just get filled up with the Spirit of God. Yep. Set your mind on things above. That, and that's this is really what the scriptures are saying. It's saying just get fueled. Get fueled, you know. And this is where you're listening to the Spirit of God too. You know, this is where worship is awesome, where you can just, it can kind of keep your spirit, it can keep your spiritual attention span, you know, as you're focused on something that can help that spiritual attention span for the things that God will begin to speak to you too then afterwards. So there's that element. Flipping from demonic to heavenly wisdom. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. There must be a temptation to think that it does descend from above. The wisdom does not. Don't boast. It's not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above, the script that is from above, is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. I'm so glad for the Word of God. Amen. I'm so glad for the script of Scriptures, because I can tell in my own heart and mind when I'm reading off the wrong script. Now you can have, this is why, you know, it's so good to know the Lord. I mean, if you're without hope and without God in the world, and you don't have anything to keep you accountable, you can get off on that bitter envy and self-seeking hearts and be all kind of destructive and think it's you're doing God service, and it's not. But we know better. We realize that, okay, I'm off over here. The script says pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Praise God. There is a decision that we have. And all I'm saying is if I'm going to flip the script, I'm recognizing what script I'm reading from. I'm recognizing who's feeding me the lines. You know, that's the enemy. That's those thoughts, those fears. That is the enemy. And this is where there's a lot of accusation and hatred and justified bitterness and that kind of stuff. And this is where God is saying, no, my wisdom is going to be pure, peaceable, willing to, like, full of mercy and good fruits. I'm going to talk to you about that person in a way that is full of mercy and good fruits, and it's going to have no partiality, no hypocrisy. Demonic wisdom is full of partiality and hypocrisy. You're always the good guy. They're always the bad guy. You've never done anything wrong, and you're just amazing, and they're just, you know, evil personified. That spirit does that. And we recognize that's not my script. That's not what God sounds like. That wisdom, it's wisdom. There's a logic to it. There's a aha. There's a checkmate. There's a solved, and it's demonic. Yep. And it's not God. Even though you got the airtight case closed, not from above. Got to drop that script. Flip the script. There's a wisdom that's from above, and it's pure, it's peaceable, and it's gentle. There's freedom there. There's peace there. There's joy there. The voice of God is in that wisdom. What to do next is in that wisdom. Praise God. Fellowship with God is in that wisdom. But there's a script that is flipped in that. Flipping from bitterness to forgiveness, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And these two are just kind of companion scriptures. They basically go hand in hand. How do I break out of that? You know, from verse, you know, 16 to 17, I got to remind myself, oh yeah, I'm going to be kind, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. In other words, I'm not asking you to do anything, Ed, that I haven't done for you. Come on. To love one another as I have loved you. And it's like, okay, yes, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that God is not privately raging toward me for the things that I've done before. I'm glad that he doesn't stay mad at me and say, well, Ed, it's complicated, but I'm still bitter toward him. No, he forgives my sins as far as the east is from the west. He does that, and he gives me the grace to help to forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. In other words, that forgiveness script. What are we talking about? Remember, we're dropping scripts, old scripts. We're getting up new scripts. Now, just this script might not be, You might be familiar with the script. But this script is living. This script is powerful. This script will divide your soul and your spirit to where your victim complex has no place to hide, but is called out, and you're free from it, and you're wholehearted living for God and trusting Him. The Word of God is living and powerful to do that. It's a new script if we're going to flip the script. We got to reverence it as a script so that the Word has influence, so that the Word can do mighty works in me. The Word can do mighty works in my heart. The Word can do mighty works in the way I look and think and feel and perceive. I'm letting the mighty work of forgiveness take hold in my heart. And I forgive, Father, even as you have forgiven me. There is a flipping that script. There is coming to, you know, coming back to what the Word of God says. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I'd like to say, I have no fear because I've been made perfect in love. The fact of the reality is we're all on that trajectory. We're all on that journey of getting perfected in love. And the more perfected in love we get, the more secure in love we get, and the less we fear. But what is it? There's a trajectory. There's a path. Because when you're over here, you know, giving yourself a pass and things and do that stuff and do all that stuff, there's fear over here. There's insecurity over here. When you begin to get on God's script and you begin to have some of these conversations and confrontations, what are you doing? You're casting out fear because you're confronting stuff. And God begins to cause you to confront some stuff, you know, as you begin to, you know, deal with some of these things, you know, dealing with fear, dealing with those things. And so this is where it kind of really gets into the confronting. But, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. In other words, you're confronting fear. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ, hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So here again, what are we doing? We're flipping that script from anxiety to prayer. I'm praying about stuff. I'm getting back to praying about things again. I'm flipping that script. I'm not just going to live in my head. I can get out of my head by praying the Word of God. You know, you can't get out of your head from your head. You got to go to the Word of God to get out of your head. And as you go to the Word of God to get out of your head, then faith will come by hearing the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by familiarity with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, declaring the Word of God. When I say familiarity, I mean that in kind of a jaded, you know, context. It comes when you begin to hear and let those words. In other words, I could know that, you know, if you go to the Word and say, don't worry about anything, he said, pray about everything. That Word is living and powerful. But I've been knowing it for 25 years. It's still living. It's still powerful. This is the script. This is the answer. I'm not trying to find another answer that's going to make me feel different than I've ever felt before. I'm going back to the Word of God that, praise God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm letting that Word and the power of that Word have a new work in me. Praise God, and change me and transform me by the renewing of my mind. I'm switching that script. And then finally, what I'm doing is I'm simply allowing the Word to cause me to stay on script. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against the script of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the script. For we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. What is that? That means that that's what our weapons are for. They're basically there to keep us on script. And that wrestling match, you know, if this is the Word and this is the kind of that self-seeking script, the powers and the principalities are just trying to get you off this script and bring you back to that script. And what they do is you can see that every high thing that exalts itself against or above the knowledge of God, you know. So in other words, here's the knowledge of God, but the self-seeking thoughts exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. And that's where we're saying, nope, this is the script I'm reading from. You see the baseball bat thing where you got the hands? And there is a wrestling match, certainly, in that. But what we got to realize is that, man, that's what the enemy does. He says, I know God has said that, but it doesn't work. You can't forgive. Come on. Really? You can't just let that go. You just can't. You've tried that before. You can't do that. That's a lie. You can. You can forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven you. God has put it in his word. He's given you a command. He's shed his love abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You can be free. You can get on script. And it's when we get on script that it begins to flip the script. And all of a sudden you got joy where you didn't have joy before. And peace where you didn't have peace before. And fellowship with God. There is a flipping of the script that we can experience. But there has to be an intentional dropping of our script, our reasoning, our old ways. And again, I'm talking primarily to believers this morning, but it's that familiarity with the script, the Word of God. Go back to it. The Word is still living. It's still powerful. It still pertains to everything. It still contains everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's in there. Those exceedingly great and precious promises. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come before you and that we can flip that script, that we can flip it, Lord, from the old way of thinking, from those old, crazy, self-centered, self-seeking ways that just don't bring change, but they bring tiredness, weariness. Father, I just pray for each one here this morning that you would just begin to show them different areas that they can begin to realize where the script that they're reading from is not yours, Lord, and to begin to drop that, to mark out that new path, to begin to show them. This is just what I pray, that you will just show them, lead them, and guide them by your Spirit, Father, into those new paths, those new scripts, those new scriptures, Father God, that mark out that straight path that is a path of healing for them, Father. Thank you for ministering health and strength and life to them, Lord, as they flip the script, as they realize that you, by your word, are in their presence, that you are visiting their town this morning in a powerful way, and that there is a reverence and a respect, Father, that we have this morning for your word, the word of God. Oh, word of God, have your way. Do mighty works in our midst. Do mighty works in our lives. Do mighty works, Lord, amongst your people. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. It's just kind of a refreshing reminder. If nothing else, to just the power, the strength, the eternal ability of the Word of God to set us free. Jesus put it this way. He said, if you continue in my word, if you stay on script, you will know the truth in a way that will cause you to see something with the eyes that Elijah's servant had. You will know the truth in a way that makes you free. And that's all we got to do. You stay on script long enough, you're going to begin to see things. And you're going to see that there are more with you than there are with them. Amen. Praise God.